Da-da-da-da-da, minding my own business. Sure hope no one decides to stab me with a soldering iron. Sure wouldn't want to die today. Da-da-da-da-da, sure hope no one stealth kills me. That would sure suck. Na-na-na-na-na.
This is Solid Snake, and you're listening to Radio Free Nintendo at NintendoWorldReport.com.
Oh shit, David Hayter's trying to kill me.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Radio Free Nintendo, courtesy of NintendoWorldReport.com. To my left, Mike Sklens.
Hello, everybody.
And across the interwebs is our favorite Oregonian, Evan Birchfield.
I'm your only Oregonian, actually.
That also makes us makes you our favorite.
And and our least favorite by default.
Great.
Well, let's go ahead and kick it off. Oh, well, actually, you know what? First, I got to say, there's a pain in my heart because, you know, our password last week was Scalpum.
Yeah, our password was Scalpum with a UM for the University of Miami, but our Seminoles had a crushing defeat and lost at the last minute. It was heartbreaking. So let's just move on and not talk about it.
Okay, because I actually don't understand what you just said at all.
That's good. Let's just move on.
We're moving on.
This conversation didn't happen.
For the healing to begin, we must first forget.
Yes.
But anyway.
Exactly.
Let's start with new business. And Evan, you were talking to me before about a game you just started playing. So what's your new business?
Yeah, I just started playing this a half hour ago. I started playing Battlefront, which I know I'm like 8 years in the past right now. But for the PS2, a friend of mine wanted to borrow Shadow of the Colossus. He's been trying to get me to play Battlefront 1 and 2. And so I'm playing it. And I'm surprised at how it really gives you the freedom to work within a battlefield, and it's a Star Wars battlefield, and since you don't play any significant characters, it doesn't matter if you die. And I'm just really liking how the game sets up this idea of being in a battlefield and the very simple rules that you have to work within. So yeah, I'm digging it. Other than that, I had to play Looney Tunes Duck Amuck for a review.
Isn't that good, though?
It's interesting. I could say that. It's not a masterpiece, and the minigames aren't all that great. There's only a couple that are really all that good. The best thing about the game is that when you first start it up, Daffy starts talking to you, and you have to start irritating him in order to just get through the game at all, in order to find any of the minigames. The whole game is just him on a white screen, and you trying to figure out different things to do with your stylus.
Oh, like that classic cartoon.
Yeah.
What's the name? Is the name of that episode Duck Amuck?
Yes, it is.
Okay. For those of you younger folks who don't know what we're talking about, there is an extremely classic Bugs Bunny cartoon in which Daffy Duck is put in all these crazy situations by the animator, and in the end we learn that the animator is in fact Bugs Bunny.
And it's a very self-referential cartoon because it has him wandering through landscapes, talking to the animator, and trying to maneuver his way through being a cartoon. He admits that he's a cartoon and that he's drawn and he can be erased. Yeah, in the game,
it's very meta.
Yeah, absolutely. In the game, he treats himself as a programmed element of the game. He treats himself as a drawn element. And so it actually is all about video games. There's a part where you actually play a portion. He says, I want to be in one of those really cool strategy games. And what it spawns is an old Atari game. and he says, I'm in one of those low-rent games from the 70s now. And so you have to play through this 70s-style Atari game. And then there's another part where he wants to go next-gen, but they don't put enough polygons in it, so he complains about being a low-polygon next-gen character. Yeah. It's a lot of fun stuff like that. So sense of humor gets a 10. The rest of the game, I don't know. I'm done with it, and I'm writing the review soon. But since I don't believe in review scores, I don't actually know what score I'm giving it yet.
Uh-huh. If you guys don't know, Evan actually wrote an editorial recently on why he thinks review scores are useless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they are.
It's a weird thing. I was talking to Mike about this earlier, but the more you work in the video game, you know, review, I guess,
racket
field. Yeah. The more you start to hate reviews, previews.
Everything.
Really all writing in the field. You become very jaded and cynical.
It happens pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's,
that happens.
It's, no, I'm looking forward to seeing our new staff members cracking under pressure and becoming bitter and old.
Yeah, well, for certain members of our staff don't actually have to wait to become bitter and old. For instance, John Lindemann. So,
well, yeah. Lindemann, I don't know if you guys actually know this. He's only 14, but his visual exterior is so rotted by the game industry that he appears to be like a 34-year-old man.
His soul is
which
decrepit.
Is how he's convinced an equally aged woman to live with him in his mansion in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, I'll leave it to him to call it a mansion or not. But
right. I got some new business.
What's your new business?
I'm gonna show this to Evan because we're on video chat. But the rest of you, you're just gonna have to imagine me holding up my Donkey Kong Country competition cartridge, and
what?
I'm waving goodbye to it because it sold on eBay yesterday for $727.
Were you the one who put that up?
On what? Yeah, that
How
was
many
me.
People have? Because that's all over the news. I didn't know that was you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
is there
dude,
only one on eBay?
It was the only one on eBay at the time, yeah. There's usually like one a month, maybe.
Okay, because
there was
the...
I finally put mine up. Yeah, it was on Game Life and it was on Joystick, because
yeah.
I have connections.
Connects.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Way to be.
So
that's awesome.
I got them to promote it for me. Yeah, that was mine, and it just sold for a ton of money, so I'm buying a new laptop.
Yeah. Oh, hey. You need to get a picture of that box onto the album artwork when you
yeah.
post the podcast.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. I've got pictures that I took for the auctions.
Because that's
there
unique box art. When did that happen? Were you in a competition, or did you just acquire
Yeah, it was
that?
It took place in 1995, and for those of you who don't know, the Donkey Kong Country competition cartridge was a hacked version of Donkey Kong Country that doesn't have a world map, and as soon as you end one stage, it goes automatically into the next stage. And also, the banana placement is different, the enemy placement, all the placement of everything is different. And everything you do, whether it's collect bananas or collect Kong letters or kill bad guys or throw barrels, everything you do nets you a certain amount of bananas. And the game literally locks up and freezes, like, I think after 5 minutes of play. And the only way to play it again is to cycle the system's power with the reset button.
Wow.
So it would freeze so the Blockbuster store person could write down your final score and see if you made it to the next round.
Wow.
But
so
after they were done with them, there were about, from what I've read on the Wikipedia, there were about 2,500 of this cartridge made, and some of them were taken back by Nintendo, and some of them were taken by Blockbuster and either destroyed or like sold for, you know, like $5 in a used game bin with like a sticker on top of it that said used game and, you know, totally ruins the collector's value of it kind of thing. But
uh-huh.
the other part of them were sold through the Nintendo Power Supply catalog, which... If you're not old enough to remember, Nintendo used to have this catalog where you could buy things out of Nintendo Power, and one thing they sold was this cartridge for $30, and it came in this special green... It's actually the same case that you would get if you rented a game from Blockbuster, except it has this Donkey Kong Country Blockbuster World Video Game Championship 2 art on it, and if you have the case and the game and everything, it's worth like $700 right now.
Wow. That's pretty incredible.
That's,
what's
yes,
funny about...
20 times its original value, so...
Yeah. What's funny about what you said is you said if people are old enough to remember Nintendo Power's catalog, pretty soon we're going to end up saying that if a lot of people out there are not old enough to even remember Nintendo Power the
yeah,
way it used to be.
Yeah, it's being published by Future starting in December.
Yep.
Are they still going to call it Nintendo Power?
Yeah, it's still called Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm hoping...
Well, but they're just getting rid of all their staff. Is that what it is?
Basically, they're shipping out of Redmond
yeah.
and going to New York.
Yeah, so okay. they're leaving publishing of the magazine up to Future, but hopefully this means that we'll start getting demo discs.
Okay.
Because, hey, official Xbox magazine and official PlayStation magazine, both published by Future, both come with demo discs.
I don't see
And
that.
Nintendo now has a disc-based system that doesn't use teeny tiny discs.
Oh,
it
no, see, but the thing
that
with
the
that
issue.
Is... Nintendo is got a stick too far up its butt to
you know
want to
though,
do that.
I don't believe so, because they are offering DS demos in stores, and they are going to be offering DS demos over the Wii, so why wouldn't they offer Wii demos?
That's exactly why they won't. That's at least what I think.
I don't know. I think if we're lucky, because the January issue of Nintendo Power is notorious for coming with all sorts of goodies, that
mm-hmm.
it may in fact come with a Smash Brothers demo. But that is purely me speculating. But the game will be out in February, so that would be around the time when a demo should drop.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just because of that speculation, maybe I'll get a subscription.
Yeah, because those goodies were also only for subscribers, but now that Future is publishing it, it'll probably just be like a $13 with demo disc version, and you get
uh-huh.
to play Smash Brothers.
Right.
And I will buy that in a heartbeat, as will
yeah.
everybody else with a Wii.
Yeah.
Right.
So
well, I have a bit of new business myself. Last week I mentioned that Bleach, The Blade of Fate, showed up in the mail.
And it's not as good as Horse Life, I'll tell you that.
And Evan's cracking up a lot right now. And Evan, not for you guys, but I guess maybe I'll put this in there. I actually have the cartridge or the little DS card in my pocket.
Oh, wow. And, because you're that hardcore.
Well, actually, because I don't get Wi-Fi at my dorm, so I brought it over here so I could play a little bit at Mike's place.
Oh, I see.
Now and, you're abusing my wireless internet connection.
Well, of course. Why else would I be here? so anyway, so and it's not bad. It's not a bad game. It's developed by Treasure.
Well, that's a plus.
That is a plus. But Treasure, when they do licensed franchises, usually don't put all their effort into it. It's only when they get a story that they don't have to worry about.
But they did that Astro Boy game.
They did the Astro Boy game, which is fantastic.
But was that ever released here?
Yeah. I own it on the GBA.
I'm sorry, I just don't keep up on that, I guess. I need to play it then.
Because
Treasure's one of my faves.
It's excellent. And I think it's better than Gunstar Heroes, but that's just me.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing better than Gunstar Heroes, so I know you're wrong.
Oh.
No.
Wait, I thought you didn't like Gunstar Heroes.
What? Are you serious?
So who is it that doesn't like Gunstar Heroes?
I don't know, none of us.
Well, whoever he is needs to be kicked off the staff. I mean, that's, like, required.
Alright, I'm going to remember that sooner. Oh, I think it's Pale who doesn't like Gunstar Heroes.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess he does enough work, we can keep him.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, it's a really good game. Of course, it's a fighting game, and it very much plays like a Treasure, you know, shooter. Of course, you know, there are, of course, swords and melee combat instead of actual guns.
I like swords.
Well, you know, you might like this game. And cause it's very fast-paced, lots of jumping up in the air, lots of, you know, attacking while you're in the air. You know, you fall to the ground, you can do, like, a counterattack. It's very, very much, very fast-paced. I mean, obviously, fighting games are often fast-paced, but this one is especially quick.
I'm just going to play it right now for everybody.
Yeah, now Mike's going to play the game. Professionalism on right.
I'm live casting this game.
Live casting.
ESRB notice, gameplay experience may change while online.
Yeah.
They should just change that so it says gameplay may change because everyone on the internet is a dick.
But there's no voice chat.
Funny thing about that is all you have to do is play one of those online games. Like when we first got Metroid on the DS, I played it with Johnny, and let me tell you this, he changed the ESRB rating as soon as I started playing with him.
Mature.
Yeah.
It's kinda cool. So, it's a pretty good game, and I'm sure Mike, as soon as he can pick a freaking character, we'll figure that out. All right. So while he's playing that, I guess I'll go on. If you guys don't know,
nice.
Zack and Wiki comes out this week for the Wii. By the time you hear this, it'll already be out. I am picking it up tomorrow. The day we're recording this is Monday, so it'll be Tuesday. And I will have impressions for you by then. It's a budget game, only $40. So not full price. Definitely pick it up. I just read the review on IGN. It got a 9.
Weird.
It got an 8.5 from Game Informer.
So a 9 in the total scale for IGN means that it got like a 7.
Basically, it means that it functions.
Yes.
I just headbutted this dude. That was wicked awesome.
Anyway, I think Mike actually might like this game. Watch out. Yeah. Watch out, Mike. Anime makes you fat.
It does. I can feel the pounds coming on as I play.
Right. So anyways.
Evan, are you playing anything else?
Ooh, I'm getting my ass.
Oh, yeah, I am actually. Shit. I'm playing Zelda Phantom Hourglass right
now.
Does
it suck?
What?
Does it suck?
I don't know if anybody ever said it sucked.
I think,
did anybody ever say it sucked?
I think Zach Miller said it sucked.
No, actually, I disagree because as far as I think I read that review, and I think it got a 7.5, which means that it's a good game.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong. But no, so far I'm enjoying it. I'm not too far into it. I was trying to zoom through it. I was trying to zoom through it for the sake of writing a review just to see if I wanted to complain about the same things, but I don't know.
Right.
I haven't had enough time with it now, so I gotta focus on Duck Amuck.
Right. And you guys can tell, but Mike just gave up on Bleach.
It's just a fight game. I was hitting buttons not knowing what I was doing, so
anyway. All right. Well, since Mike's done with that, let's move on to Mike's crazy mailbag.
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate our listeners for finally sending in something that is a little wacky.
Right. This is from Max, by the way.
Okay, and Max says we keep talking about our crazy mailbag, but none of our fans seem to have taken advantage of it yet. So he is going to do so, and he wants to know where babies come from. And the answer is a mommy and a daddy They love each other very much. And then the mommy's vajayjay hugs the daddy's pee-pee, and 9 months later, a baby is born.
But sometimes when the mommy and daddy don't love each other very much, sometimes a lonely man meets a Guatemalan hooker in the, middle of the night.
But a miracle happens. But the vajayjay hug is still there.
They hug. They embrace.
Yeah.
Is it too late to take my name off of this podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we'll move on to some real listener mail.
Oh, yeah, this is some real listener mail. And, so, you know, we talked about Zach Miller's review of Phantom Hourglass. And, you know, we often get mail from our readers concerning our reviews. And sometimes they don't always agree with us. Sometimes they articulate their opinions very nicely and very, you know, respectfully. Other times, not so much.
Yeah.
And this one such person who emailed us 8 times.
8.
With different email addresses to make it look like it was 8 different people.
Right.
I, you know, for a while I thought it was 8 different people, too. I mean, he's really clever.
But he has the same agenda. And so I'm going to just cycle through some of the best ones here.
Let's try and leave the profanity out.
Just read everything you have in there, man, because okay. I think it kind of gains, like, this verb.
Now, really, aren't we just encouraging him by doing this?
Kind of, but who cares? It's funny.
This is like the terrorists win, man.
True that.
If you read these flames on air, the terrorists win, Carl.
Yes, the terrorists have already won.
Well,
yeah, they've already won.
If they've already won, I might as well go ahead and read them all.
Do you want to win the war on spam? Do you? That's a yes or no question.
Well, you know what? I would really appreciate it if whoever does like the spamming out there would stop sending me emails about making my cock larger. Okay, look. I really don't.
Okay, no, we're done. Just read these, please.
Just read them, read them, read them.
I'm very insecure. Anyway, so first up we've got something here from, I didn't copy his email, I just got the messages here. So first up it says, "This website is crap. Zelda Phantom Hourglass is the best game, doesn't deserve your stupid 7.5 out of 10 rating. It's either 9.5 out of 10 or 10 out of 10. Up yours, you fake website / magazine."
Yeah.
We're not a magazine.
Well, I know. Yeah, he has website / so it's either or, it's cool, okay. Dude.
His next one says, "This website is fucking gay. Fuck you all."
Awesome.
That's it.
Good.
That's okay. Next one. "Nintendo World Reports magazines are bullshit."
Which is true, because they do not exist.
And they are not official.
Also true, because again, they don't exist.
Even if they did, they wouldn't be official.
Right. "This is a piece of fucking shit. Your grading for games is shit. Zelda is the greatest," in all caps.
Greatest. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He then repeated.
Next one is FU, Zelda rules, 10 out of 10 with like 10 exclamation points following it.
Right. And then this is my favorite one though. "Nintendo World Report is actually good? ? Haha, hell no."
Hell no. Just in case you thought maybe he was giving us a compliment, no.
Fuck you, Nintendo World Report. Zelda isn't 7.5 out of 10. It is 9.5 or 10 out of 10. Rectum Rangers, Rump Rangers.
Okay, so Rectum Raiders is
Rangers,
officially...
Rangers.
Rectum
Raiders.
Oh, it's Raiders. Yeah.
Rangers. You're getting it wrong.
Okay,
Carl.
I'm sorry. Don't misquote the man.
He put a lot of time into this.
Don't misquote the terrorist, okay? So yeah. Rectum Raiders is perhaps the best thing I have ever heard come through the interwebs. I am so impressed at this man's ability. The best thing is that you saw him sitting down and he has like 8 different email addresses.
They're from the UK. So imagine all of these with an English accent.
Yeah. I can't even imagine, because this guy is, I mean, I'm almost at the point where I think that this is a fake and that it's coming from one of our readers or our message board guys who's totally someone who's trying to pull a prank on us. It wouldn't surprise me. I got a Sonic or a Shadow the Hedgehog spam once that guy was totally upset at me about Shadow the Hedgehog, and I just don't believe that anybody actually likes that game. So I think
maybe
it's fake.
Ty Sugar is just secretly a Zelda fan.
Could be.
Well, considering how many duplicates he has on the message boards, I wouldn't be surprised. This is probably Ty, actually.
No, probably, I don't think it is. I believe this is a genuine person. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because Ty doesn't use the F word a lot,
and Ty is also about a million times cleverer than this guy.
This is true.
Well, it takes a lot of creativity for a clever person to act as unclever as this guy is.
That's true. You could look at the Stella comedian guys, and that they're pretty much proof of that. But anyway, yeah. Let's move on past this this terrorism of our, our podcast here.
And that actually brings us to the end of segment one, but when we're coming back, it's segment, guess what, number two.
The news.
The news. Stay tuned. And we're back for the news. First up, VC Mondays, Ninja Jajamaru-kun on the NES or Famicom.
This is an import game. It'll cost you an extra 100 Wii points.
Yes, it's on the it's a Famicom game, so you're paying that import fee because, you know, to fly the ROM over from Japan to the West Coast, so much money.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
Shipping expenses are insane for those things.
Dude, so bad.
Yeah, and I think they probably had to pay some guy at least $30, $40, $50 an hour to translate the whatever five lines of text.
Of course. Yeah. And this is apparently a Super Mario Brothers clone. So if you like Super Mario Brothers, but you also want to read something in really bad English.
And, you know, it's got a little ninja dude. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's got a ninja and it's got Jajamaru-kun.
Whatever that is.
Well, he's obviously young Jajamaru.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And after that, we've got Lunar Pool on the NES, which I've never heard of.
But Evan owns, right?
You own Lunar Pool?
No.
Oh, you own Golden Axe 3.
You own the last one, which was Golden Axe 3, and you say, not so good.
Well, I mean, I just have the Genesis Collection disc, and I think I may have spent a minute with Golden Axe 3, which is about a fifth of the amount of time I spent with Golden Axe 2, which I reviewed. And all I can say is that Golden Axe games, whoever liked them, like, I know some people on the boards liked them. I don't get it. I don't know why.
Yeah, they're really, they're pretty much universally terrible.
Yeah, I hate them. And so, I mean, and whenever it comes time for me to volunteer to review one of those, I don't feel like I owe anybody anything. I just am going to tell them that exactly what I think, which is that it sucks. It's terrible. Who likes this? It's awful.
So we're looking at maybe a lot of recommended for fans / not recommended this week.
Yeah.
Most probably.
Right. All right. Well, let's move
on. Unless Jajamaru-kun ends up being really awesome.
I doubt it, but we'll cross our fingers.
Yeah.
Moving on into the NPD numbers. That's right. It's time for the September sales charts.
And for once, Nintendo's not on top, but that's mostly thanks to Halo 3.
Right. Because the Xbox 360 was able to pull through and sell
over 500,000 units.
527,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is about 26,000 more than the Wii.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
it's
is
a lot.
And this also is Nintendo's best month ever.
Yeah, what came out for the Wii in September?
Wii Sports?
Yeah, okay. Nothing.
Yeah, so the Wii's doing real good still, too. Obviously, people are picking those up early for Christmas, or they're just knowing that there's going to be a shortage. And that's fine. What I think is interesting here is that Microsoft has really proven that they made a big mistake with the Halo 2 and Halo 3. So Halo 2 could have been delayed for 360 and been the 360 game at launch, but instead, since they waited a year, or how long has it been now, a year and a half?
Almost two years
from the launch of their system for Halo 3. I mean, Halo 3 should conceivably be coming out in about a half a year to a year from now, with Halo 2 having come out 2 years ago. That's what I think. That would have been wiser, and the 360 would be in everybody's hands now instead of being in just some people's. So.
Right, but
it's in a lot of hands.
They still have Halo games left. They still got Halo Wars.
And the inevitable Halo 4, which hasn't been announced yet, but will certainly exist.
Right, and Halo the movie, the game.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Everybody's looking forward to that. We don't even know if Halo the movie is going to happen.
But it's going to have a game, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Based off of the script of the unproduced movie.
Right. And after we've got the DS selling a modest $495.
Just 495.
Just 495?
495 units. They did a good job.
Right, 495,000 units, by the way.
Okay, good.
Which is, I guess, pretty good
for
the DS.
That's good.
I mean, you know.
That's a good number.
I think it's slacking, personally. Then we have a sudden drop down to the PSP selling 284,000. But you know what? PSP's on the rise.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. There's been some stuff that's coming out that people are saying is good. Joan of Arc. A lot of people are talking about Joan of Arc.
No, Joan d'Arc.
Joan d'Arc. It's, you know, it's the French pronunciation.
Yeah.
Jean.
Okay. Joan d'Arc.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's still a story about Joan of Arc, and it's on a video game. Like, to me, that's awesome. Joan of Arc has never been put in a game like that before, so...
apparently, it's kind of like a Shadow Hearts type of historical treatment, where, yeah, there's Joan of Arc, but there's also, like, demons and, you know, guys...
Yeah, animations.
That's cool.
That's cool. Well, that's awesome. I guess it's cool.
It's like having a giant enemy crab in your historical Japanese battles.
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Alright, well, after the PSP is the PS2 selling 215,000. Saw a report the other day saying that PS2 is on its way out.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. Nope.
It's going down.
It's not on its way out until the PS3 is on its way in, and the PS3 only sold 119,000 units.
Well,
in
don't
September.
Be skipping around.
I didn't. That's the next one on the list.
Oh, is it? Okay.
what, do you think the Game Boy sold more than the PS3?
It might have.
Game Boy only had 75,000.
Game Boy had 75,000.
Only.
And Johnny's not here, but I still get to ask, how many of these were micros?
Yeah.
Like two?
Probably.
Yeah.
If that.
So, PS2's not going to go out until they stop making games for it. And the fact that they're making Guitar Hero 3 for it, it's one of the most established consoles in the history of video games, and people love Guitar Hero. To me, it seems inconceivable that the PS2's going to die.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was talking to Carl the other day, and for some reason, he didn't think that Guitar Hero 3 was going to sell best on the Wii.
I just didn't think of that. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with it, but... it's an interesting notion. I do think Mike has a point, though, because...
My point here is that the Wii is all about brand new, or not maybe it's not brand new, but it's all about unique experiences, and Guitar Hero is a unique experience. You know, it's
right.
got a special controller, and it puts you, you know, in the act of doing something that would not typically be a video game, and that is exactly why people bought their Wiis, that's why they love Wii Sports, and why Guitar Hero 3, like, it meshes with the platform philosophy perfectly.
Right.
I think that's true, and I think that also the fact that Nintendo gamers haven't yet had a Guitar Hero game is going to influence sales a lot on the Wii.
Yeah.
Plus the
and
fact that
the
it's
only
a
thing
fit your
the
Wii
only thing is that
into.
a lot of PS2 gamers like me, if I get Guitar Hero 3, I will probably get it on the PS2 because I'll be able to get it for $50 because I already have a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
even though it won't be wireless,
but still,
it's only $50.
Yeah,
or you buy the guitar plus the game, which I'll probably do for the PS2 because I already have a guitar. So I've got one guitar only, and I'd like to
yeah,
have another
I've got,
one.
And I've
buying
got two
for the Wii isn't in my agenda. So
I'm buying the game for the Wii because that's the only console I have up here. So
yeah.
Though I am also tempted to buy it for the Xbox because it costs the same as the Wii version, and I'll be able to use that guitar as an extra bass for Rock Band.
Right.
Yeah. I think also we have to consider just the implanted user base. I think that overall sales, it could go either to PS2 or Wii. It's not going to go to 360. I think it's going to be either the PS2 or Wii that's going to have the most. I don't think it's guaranteed win for either. It's coming to PS3, isn't it?
Yeah, it
yes.
is. It has those weird dangly things that hang
from
the console.
It's got a wireless
so
dongle.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Apparently they couldn't get it to work well enough with the Bluetooth, so.
Go figure. So basically, the only console we're getting true wireless guitars...
Well, the Xbox version is wireless for Guitar Hero, yeah. Not the Rock Band one, but the Guitar Hero one is.
Okay, because I was going to say, the only truly wireless guitar would have ended up on Wii.
I didn't hear that. I thought that they were going to have to keep them wired. Or was that the Rock Band?
That's for Rock Band. Rock Band's is going to
be
wired.
Why are they doing that? That's so retarded.
Because Microsoft charges $20 to license their wireless technology.
So Rock Band's coming out, though. It's coming out late for PS2, but it is coming out.
It's coming out in December for PS2.
Yeah, that's only. Like
it's not
going to
have
later.
Online. It's not going to have. It's not going to have online or anything. So
I
why
think
not?
They,
the PS2 can go online. I don't
know
why
it doesn't have online. Apparently, they
that's
couldn't
stupid.
Get it to run well enough, and the install base of people with modems is anyway.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But they're not putting it on Wii.
You should
so.
Just buy a 360, Evan, so we can rock out together.
Okay. Well, I mean, I want to see how that online mode works. I'm definitely interested. I'll say that. I would like to, but I'm a guitar guy. When it comes to, I could not do the drums for the life of me.
Aren't you doing?
I'm gonna be the drummer.
Band.
So we're creating a virtual. This is the miracle of modern technology and the internet. We're creating a virtual band who plays pre-recorded songs. That's kind of really awesome.
Who's your singer again, Mike?
My singer may be Player One Podcast's Dan Dormer.
That is something I want to see.
I'm in. Or if Johnny ever gets a 360, you can guarantee that he would like to be the singer.
Yeah,
he'll buy that in a heartbeat.
Because Johnny can actually, you know, sing.
Yeah.
Like, can you hear a little, sing a little Molly Hatchet, that would be good.
Yeah. Well, the fun thing will be, I will never be able to, like, sit in my room, though, with the 360. Like, you guys can see my room because we're in video chat. Sit over there, right? And sing at that television. I don't see how that could ever, like, I would ever be okay with that.
The bummer thing is that if you're playing online, you won't hear the singer's voice. You just hear the pre-recorded voice from the actual person in the band.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
It's a bit of a bummer.
That is a bit of a bummer.
Apparently couldn't get it to work with latency and compression and all that stuff. It was too much of a hassle, so they just dropped it. Which makes a lot of sense, but yeah.
But that just ruins it for me. Like, the whole point is lost now.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a bummer, but whatever.
Can you record your sessions, and then maybe you can hear the guy's voice?
Well, I mean, if you had a video camera, I'm sure you could record anything.
Here's what we need to do, guys. Here's how we'll do this. Let's create our own video game convention. Let's call it E3. Let's hold it in LA in May and have everyone come. And then while we're there, we can play Rock Band together.
No, didn't you hear, though? According to, I think it was the Los Angeles Times, they wrote an article about E for All this week. And the article starts out, "The annual E3 convention rolled into town this year."
Man, why is it that the mainstream media doesn't understand video games?
18,000 people attended the E3 convention in the Los Angeles Convention Center.
It's only 4 months late.
Yeah.
This year.
Anyway. Yeah. But that is kind of news that 18,000 people attended E for All, which they are calling a huge success. But
Didn't 60,000 people go to the last E3?
Yeah, something like that. 80,000, maybe. I don't know. Well, this year's. But the year before that, like, before E3 got lame, I think it was something like 80,000.
Jesus.
But apparently, I think it was on Chris Kohler's blog, that next year, E4 and PAX happen, like, the same week.
Yeah.
So why would anyone go to E4?
Definitely not going to be us.
No, I'm going to PAX.
Word.
I am so going to PAX next year. I regret not going this year. I really do.
Yeah, we're going to have, like, a mini NWR meetup there.
Yeah, we're announcing that now.
Hopefully I'll be able to attend.
Everybody who's into NWR, we should have a meeting at some bar somewhere. Oh, wait, you're going to still be underage, aren't you?
Yeah. Carl will still be underage.
But I can grow some gruff and get in.
Mike and I are going to go to a bar. You can hang out with everybody else who's under 21.
Yeah. Which is no one.
Yeah.
Because no one else on staff is
not true.
Under 21.
The newer guys.
No, none of them are under 21.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, that's why you're junior staff.
Oh, snap. Don't forget, Evan, I still outrank you.
Right, let's keep it rolling.
Throw the hammer down.
This news
is something that I called forever ago. Okami
first
is coming
podcast.
To the week.
This is first podcast, man. That was 75 podcasts ago.
Okami is coming to the Wii. How obvious was this? I mean, from the second I played... I played the Wii and Okami were at E3 the same year, and I was like, why is Okami not on the Wii? The interface is pretty much made for the game, but it's not on it, and now it is.
I do want to disagree with you just a little bit. The drawing mechanic isn't huge enough in the game to make it all that important for the Wii.
But it was terrible from what I played on the PS2. It was so hard to control that brush.
I disagree. I have a fine time with it, and I've actually played the game extensively.
Okay.
And so I don't think it's terrible. It'll be fine on the Wii. It'll be great. The thing is that it's just going to emulate the PS2 controls with moving with the analog stick, jumping with A, attacking with B or whatever. It's just going to be a normal setup. And I don't mind. The great thing is that Nintendo gamers get to play this game. More people get to play this game. It's one of the best games ever made. That's the best thing about it.
I never played it, but I am kind of inching to, I want to play a little bit. But the thing is that I'm suffering from the Zelda fatigue. Do I really want to play a Zelda clone?
Well, yeah, because apparently it's like, didn't Johnny say it was the best Zelda game he's ever played?
Yeah,
well,
something like that.
The best Zelda game he's ever played that wasn't called like Zelda.
Yeah, but here's the thing about the game, is that it's not organized like a Zelda game. It actually has a good plot, so you aren't told... Yeah, you aren't set off to collect 5 objects or 10 things here. It actually has something new always happening, and the plot kind of maneuvers around all these things. So, and it's all based off of Japanese mythology. The way it works is really kind of magnificent. Sometimes you'll feel like you're at the end of the game, and then more stuff will open up, and you have to go further. It works so much better than the Zelda, you've got 4 more dungeons now.
Right.
I hate that, so...
Well... Speaking of games getting a second life, we might see a new Skies of Arcadia game.
This could not excite me anymore. I was a huge, huge Skies of Arcadia fan. I own the Dreamcast version. I used to own the GameCube version until my ex-girlfriend stole it.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Yikes. That sucks.
That's cold.
I know. Very cold. I love that game. It's so good. It gives you this great sense of exploration, even though it's like kind of battle system is kind of generic, but it's passable. But the story was well written, and it was clever. It was funny. It wasn't like, you know, super dramatic, oh my god, anime, you know, kind of stuff. I mean, there was some of that apocalyptic stuff in there, but it was handled in a way that didn't make it completely cheesy.
It almost felt like, and I don't know if you guys are going to agree or disagree with this, it almost felt kind of like a Disney kind of game.
Like, give you that little
like
feel.
It's very
colorful and bright. And
very colorful, bright. It's very, like, it's kind of lighthearted. It's lighthearted, yeah. It's very, like, you know, it's more about the adventure. Like, you're huge, kind of, like, swashbuckling, yeah. You know, air pirates. And
my favorite part of the game is that the game's map is extremely balkanized. Like, right in the middle sort of eastern section is where, like, the industrial guys are. And they're, like, very high and fancy. And they're very obviously, like, the British. And then if you go down below them, it's a desert, and then in the southwestern corner of the map is where the jungle area is, and then in the far east is where, like, the Japanese inspired people are, and then right where America should be, there's nothing except for a restaurant run by an That's extremely great. Fat man.
That's fine.
That's awesome. That's like in, what was it, the movie Paprika, where they go to America and everybody there is fat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. This actually comes to us via EGM's Quarterman, who has his monthly column in there about rumors, and he's actually got a 57% accuracy rate, and Mike just killed a bug.
So is the rumor that it's coming, is that it's a sequel, or is that it's a port? Because we've this game's been ported for like 5 years.
Sequel is what I hear.
Okay, yeah. Well that's good.
News. Why would they port a GameCube game to the Wii when you could just buy it on GameCube?
Sure. Or why would they put? It's a Dreamcast game, is the thing. It's not even a GameCube.
Well,
game.
We don't even know.
Yeah, but it's been on the GameCube, so why would you port it to the same system?
No, I get your point.
We don't know. We don't know that it's going to be on Wii. It could be on 360 or PS3.
But that's very possible. If it's on 360, it'll be on PS3. I don't see this title being exclusive to a platform unless that platform is the Wii.
What if it was on the DS?
And you know, it very well could be on the DS.
So then, Sega published. Did they develop this game?
Yes.
Yes.
It was developed by, I believe it was Working Design, but I could be wrong.
Working Design?
Yeah.
That's not Sega?
Yeah, it's one of Sega's developing companies. Or they
Overworks.
Were at the time.
Overworks.
Sega's
Overworks.
Overworks, yeah.
There you go. Overworks. That's it, with the egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I will look up my copy, but again, my bitch of an ex-girlfriend stole it.
Oh,
yeah.
Ouch.
Mine's broken. Mine doesn't play. I've actually never played this game because it doesn't play. I've had it. I have it sitting here, and I'm going to test it, but I bought it used. That's my own fault, I guess.
I bought it for $35 used.
I bought mine for much less than that. So, but it's got an instruction manual. Sweet.
Sweet. So, yeah.
I get to look at the box art every time I want to think about the game, right?
Right. Well, our last news story of the day is comes to us from Treasure. And this actually happened in an interview with Nintendo Power, saying that Sin and Punishment, a sequel on Wii, is a possibility, and it's something that they're thinking
about. Not out of the question.
Not out of the question, what they said.
Apparently they also thought about giving the Virtual Console version specialized Wii controls, but nothing ever panned out there.
I'm guessing Nintendo said no.
Yeah, probably.
then all they need to do is re-release it on WiiWare, and that would work.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a sequel. If the sequel was released directly to WiiWare, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
yeah. If it had simplified graphics, it was just a low key game.
They don't even
need,
the graphics don't even need to be simplified. Have you seen those images of Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles? They look amazing.
Yeah,
they do. I mean, it's just a matter of how big is that game actually, though, because the Sin and Punishment took up a lot of that N64 cart, and I don't know if Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles is going to take up much more.
How much was the N64 cart was 512 kilobits?
At the end of its life, I think so. Yeah,
and that's not kilobytes, people. That's kilobits. That's not much at all.
Yeah, that's I think it's what 64 megabytes.
Something like
64 kilobytes.
No, I forget. It's not very much.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Not a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles may be a lot, but we've got to find. There's going to have to be a solution. I'm glad I have an SD card because I don't have to worry now. But there's going to have to be a solution for other people beyond the SD card when these giant WiiWare games come out. I don't know what Nintendo's going to do about it, but
they've got to unlock that SD slot. They've got to.
So that you can just play stuff right off of it?
Yeah, just make it a memory expansion.
I don't know. I mean, I'll buy like a 25 gig hard drive for $50.
That's dumb, though. Why wouldn't you just buy a memory expansion for the system?
Because then I could hit, because eventually that SD card is going to fill up.
So what? You put
not if it's going
to be... Eventually your hard drive is
going to fill up. It's like SD cards are small and I'll lose them.
No, if it's in there all the time, you're not going
to
lose
it. Yeah, dude, mine's just in the Wii and I don't even have to... It's just in, so...
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's my opinion. But anyways, if they make a sequel, I'm all for it. WiiWare, if they release it on the Wii, I think, honestly, they'll put it on the Wii. They'll be able to sell this game for $50. Treasure needs a Wii game. They need a good Wii game. I want them to do a sequel to Mischief Makers.
I conjectured that this would not so much be a sequel to Sin and Punishment as it would be a spiritual successor, much like Ikaruga is the sequel to Radiant Silvergun.
Or the same way that Sin and Punishment is a spiritual successor to Gunstar Heroes, and that the direct sequel to Gunstar Heroes came out on the Game Boy Advance. So,
Yeah. Sin and Punishment is very much what Gunstar Heroes would be like if you were playing it in a 3D perspective.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's bad, but it's a lot harder.
Yeah. And the plot is about a million times even more ridiculous.
Yeah, but the plot in the original wasn't. I think we've talked about this before. The plot in Gunstar Heroes, it's not interesting at all. Red and Blue are on an adventure. They're betrayed by Green, and then Yellow gets kidnapped, and it's like,
Who cares?
Primary colors. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
I was going to end the segment, so if you have something to say, go for it.
I was just going to say, I want them to remake Mischief Makers. I want them to make a more
Mischief Makers was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that needs to come out on Virtual Console. I've been whining about that forever. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Honestly. Yeah, now that we're done whining about Sin and Punishment, we can start whining about Mischief Makers.
Yeah, and that's actually a North American game, so it'll just be $10. It won't cost extra. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I'd buy that in a heartbeat. I rented that like when I first got my N64, right around the time that game came out. And I was like, wow, this is really awesome. And then it just disappeared, and I never rented it or bought it.
Maybe this is also a chance for them to put Doshin the Giant on the Virtual Console or on WiiWare.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Or they could also do...
It was a GameCube game, though.
Yeah, Doshin the Giant was released on GameCube, that's right.
But wasn't it originally for the disk drive?
Yeah, it was a 64 disk drive game.
Yeah, but Doshin the Giant, as everyone knows it, is a GameCube game.
Sure. But they could still put it on WiiWare.
It's the same way that everyone knows Animal Crossing as a GameCube game, but it was actually released first as Animal Forest on the 64 DD.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing that I was thinking, though, is I can't remember the name of this game, but there's this game where you are a scientist who creates a female robot, and some reader's going to get the name of this game. It's this game where it's for the N64. It was never released in America, but it was advertised in Nintendo Power, that whole feature on it. And it's this game where you just have to figure out you have to learn how to act as this new robot, this newborn robot. And it always looked really interesting to me, but it never got made. It was all done entirely two-dimensional. There was no 3D graphics in it. So I really wanted to play it, and it never came out. There's just all kinds of things on the wish list now, thanks to the import thing on the VC.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, we're going to end our new segment. When we come back, we're talking about E for All, so stick around. Unfortunately, folks, Steven Rodriguez couldn't be reached in time to record this week's last segment on E for All. However, you can still go to NintendoWorldReport.com to check out all of our coverage on the event. So, there you go. Unfortunately, guys, like I said, we're not going to have a third segment this week, so sorry about that. Remember, you can email us at RFN@NintendoWorldReport.com. This week's password for Mike's crazy mailbag is, I don't know, missing segment. How about that, huh? You can also go on into iTunes and subscribe and leave a review if you so wish. You can also dig the podcast by going to back to NintendoWorldReport.com and clicking on that little dig link in the news post. Okie doke, folks. This is Carl Castaneda, and we'll be seeing you next week.